The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe with the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As with every gospel reading, there's a lot going on in this one. In particular, if we keep our eyes on Jesus and see what he does and says, he gives us a really good model of how we are called to go out and engage other people, to talk about the faith with other people. But let me give you some background. First of all, who were the Samaritans? The Samaritans were members of the northern tribes of Israel that were defeated by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians brought other defeated peoples into northern Israel, and they all intermarried. So the Jews in the lower tribes looked down upon the Samaritans. They thought of them as, let's say, impure because they dared to marry with pagans. So even though the northern tribes, many of them still held to the Jewish law of Moses, they were looked down upon as sacrilegious blasphemers, whatever, worse than Gentiles, by the Jews who lived in Jerusalem. So here is Jesus talking with a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman. And what time is it? It's noon. Why is she alone? Well, because the women of the town who didn't have a background like this woman had would have gone in the morning when it was cool, and they didn't want to be with her, and she didn't want to be with them because of what they might say to her. So she goes at noon, the hottest time of the day. And so here is Jesus, a single man, talking to a woman he doesn't know. That would have been against the law of Moses. He shouldn't have been doing that. But here he engages her. And that's what Jesus does again and again. He doesn't care if the person is a Jew or a Gentile or a Samaritan. If that person shows some interest in who he is, he engages with them. And so he does it with this woman. And it's all about water to begin with. And if you think of that idea of thirst, everybody thirsts. We have water we can drink or other drinks to quench our thirst, but we also have a thirst in our hearts, a very deep thirst, or a deep hunger. Every person has that. And so Jesus, in talking with this woman and using the water as a symbol, is helping to get at her thirst, what she really wants. And he tells her about herself. She thinks he's a prophet. And she goes back to tell the other Samaritans in the village that here's a man who may be the Christ. But Jesus gets going in her a thirst that she's able to talk about or wonder about, and thinking, maybe this man can quench my thirst or ease my hunger that's in the deep of my heart. And again, we all have deep in our hearts a desire, which is a thirst, which is a hunger. And what is it, a hunger or thirst for? Well, it's a hunger or thirst for truth, for what is true, what is real, fulfillment. And of course, it can only come from God. So Jesus is doing that. He's teasing that out of her by engaging with her. He breaks the rules, yes, but because of his love, because of his desire that all people be saved, he talks to her and he engages her, and then he engages the whole town of Samaritans. So we too have a thirst or a hunger in our hearts, and I think that's why we're here today, to learn a little bit more about that hunger and thirst and how it can be quenched, how it can be fed. And we know it's through Jesus Christ. We know especially it's through his flesh and through his blood, the best of food and drink, that we have our hungers and thirsts quenched. But we do that so that we can continue to grow in our faith and learn more about our faith, so that we can do exactly what Jesus did and what the disciples learned to do from Jesus. So even the disciples in the story are learning a little bit more about what they're called to do, because they were shocked that Jesus, a single man, Jewish man, was talking to a Samaritan woman. But very quickly they found out that what he was doing was what he was called to do, to go out and evangelize, to go out and proclaim the gospel to anyone who was open to it, anyone who had an interest. And in reality, everybody, every human being, has built into them at conception that desire to know the truth about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not something we implant in someone or we put there. In other words, we don't give people faith. It's somehow there in a rudimentary form in the individual's desire to know the fullness of truth. What we are called to do is stir that desire up, to find out how that person is thirsting, how that person is hungering for the truth of the Word of God, and then to say something about it. And Jesus doesn't talk a lot to her, and he does do some prophesying there, but we know enough of our faith that we too can go forth and ask questions of people to help stir up that desire to know more about Jesus. And the more we do that, the more we're going to have people saying, well, tell me more. Tell me more. What about this? I heard this from the Bible. Is that true? How do you explain that? It opens really a reservoir of water, of desire, that people want somehow to use in their lives so that they won't thirst or hunger again. So just like Jesus, we're called to go into the highways and the byways, not to be afraid of the people that we interact with, but rather to recognize that every single human being has a thirst, a hunger, just like we do, for the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So we can quench people's thirst. We can feed people with the Word of God. We have been empowered to do that. We've been enlightened to do that, so that we, like the disciples, continue to carry on the work that Jesus began in his ministry, that he passed on to the apostles and the disciples, and that got passed on through the thousands of years since Jesus walked the earth. But that's our goal, to keep our thirst, our hunger there, recognizing it, knowing that it's all about Jesus, and then going out and finding people to quench their thirst and to feed their hunger. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and his love and his mercy and his desire for each of us. So there are a lot of Samaritan women. There are a lot of people who have never heard of Jesus Christ or maybe know the name but don't really know anything about it. People who have never picked up a Bible. Well, we have. We know what it's about. And so it's up to us to take that information, that life-giving, eternal life-giving information, out into the world. So as we go forth today during Lent, I can't think of a better way to say thank you, Lord, for this gospel than to try to be what Jesus was today in the gospel, someone who took seriously a person's desire to know the truth, and he took that opportunity to tell her the truth, and we can do that well. So I invite you to think about how you might do it this week as you go forth, as a way of saying to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for feeding us, for helping to quench our thirst, for being who you are, the Savior of the world.